please confess. For Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha, watch their brother die. Waited for Jesus, he did not come, they wondered why. Death watch was over, buried for days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here, the Lord's on his way. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him, he'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is
Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 13 this morning. Luke chapter 13, and I know we have, we'll try to get a bulletin out again next week. We hadn't had one since Jubilee week, and we'll try to get one out next week so we can update prayer list. I know there's some folks that want to be on the prayer list, and our brother Ronnie Meredith called me this morning, and he's here today, and he's got to go to the hospital this week. They found some kind of a mass on him and in him, and so he's got to go about that. So we'll try to get a prayer list out next week for that and others. Brother Poindexter's mother's been sick. Sister Clara, she's sick, and so we'll try to get that out next week. The Bible said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 10 down through verse 17, The Bible said he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosened from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered him with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doeth not each one of you on the Sabbath loosen his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosened from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things which were done by him. Thank you. You may be seated. Our Father, as we come this morning, Lord, to stop just for a moment before proceeding to bring the message today, we ask the Lord to anoint us today and give us liberty and power and favor with God. And Lord, we ask today that you speak to the hearts of your people today. And Lord, those that have met you and those that have not met you, we pray the Lord would speak to both hearts today in the way that they need to be spoken to. We thank you for the blessings of this past week, this present day. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sin and cleansing from sin and salvation from the Lord and being kept by the power of God. And Lord, we ask now today that you'll just be with us in this service, and may the Lord have his liberty to do what the Lord he wants to do in the hearts of people today. And when we leave, that we'd be able to say, the Lord was there today. And we were in the presence of God, and unlike Jacob, we recognized and knew we were. And Father, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here it is recorded once again in the Bible about another person who met Jesus. I've been preaching now for, I believe this will be 5 weeks, that I've been preaching a series on people that met Jesus, or people that met the Lord. As we are going through the Bible, it is a vast resource of people that we could use to preach about those that have met the Lord. And in every one of them, somewhere within the situation, we can see a little bit of ourselves. Even though that we may not be a tax collector like Zacchaeus, that was up a tree, and out on a limb without God. Even though we may not be like him, we know there's some things like him that are like us. And even though we may not be like the centurion that had men and under him, and he could say to one, go, and he would go, and to another one, come, and he would come. Even though we may not be like him, we know that there's some things about him that's like us. And even though that we may not have been married 5 times or had 5 husbands and living with somebody that wasn't her husband then, we recognize some things about that woman at the well that reminds us of when we met the Lord. We may not be a demonic maniac like the man of Gadara, running through the tombs and cutting ourselves and all of the things that he did, but yet we recognize that like him we needed the Lord. And the reason that we can say that there was something in them like us is because like them, we are all sinners. And like them, that every one of us is being sought by the Savior. The Bible said that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad that one day that God revealed to me my lost condition. And I realized that Jesus had come to seek and to save the lost, and thank God I was one of them. And one thing about this is that once that we realize we're a sinner and we realize that there's a Savior that is seeking sinners like maybe you are and some of us were, we realize that once we meet Him, that we are never, ever the same. I want to say that again, that once you meet the Lord, you are never, ever the same. I met Jesus at an altar at 10 years old, in the front of a church on a Sunday morning, and I can honestly say, without fear of contradiction, that from that moment that I nailed at that altar at the front of the church, that my life wasn't and never could be the same. Because I've been saved by the grace of God. I'd met the greatest person that has ever been upon this earth, or that ever will be upon this earth, and His name is Jesus. We look tonight in this story that God has recorded for us. It's not as lengthy as some of the other stories are. We don't have as much details as some of the other stories do. But I believe there's some things in here that God wants us to see. And I'm going to preach this morning upon this subject. A crooked woman who met a straight man. A crooked woman who met a straight man. Because we read here in the Bible that Jesus was teaching. You want to know what Jesus would be doing if He were here upon the earth today? He'd be in church somewhere. The Bible said He had that custom. He had that habit of always being in the synagogue on the day of worship. Amen. You want to be like Jesus, you'll have to be in church somewhere on Sunday if you want to be like the Lord. Amen. People say, well, I don't need it. Well, He did. The Bible said He went. He's our example in all things. And He's our example also in that. Amen. Well, I want us to look here. And I don't think this will be a lengthy message because of the information given us this morning. But I want to mainly focus upon really two people. And I'll just mention the last person, the third person here briefly. But I want to focus mainly on two people here in their story. Of course, one of them is the crooked woman who met the straight man. And of course, the other one is the straight man who was Jesus. And when we look here this morning, I want to focus first of all upon this woman. The Bible doesn't use the word crooked, but the Bible uses the word that she was bound together. The Bible said in verse 11, and behold, there was a woman. I like that. Amen. The Bible says, behold, there was a woman. I'm glad that in most of these encounters with the Lord, that the Bible says there was. I'm glad that I can say this morning that one day I was lost. But now I'm found, thank God. If you're here this morning and saved, you can say, I was lost. I was going to hell. I was a sinner. But now I am found. Now I'm saved. The Bible said there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years and was bowed together. There it is. And in no wise could lift up herself, the Bible said. Now, I want us to look at some things that the Scripture tells us here in the Bible. And I know I say this a lot, but I really mean it. I like Bible preaching. I don't care what you think. I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care how you look at things. I want to know what the Bible says. I'll tell you what feeds my soul is the Word of God. The Bible said that it is that when we're saved, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. The Bible says here that this woman, the Bible tells us that she was crooked or that she was bowed over, the Bible says. Now, it tells us that there was a power that was causing her to be crooked. For the Bible, Jesus tells us what it is. In verse 16, the Bible said, this woman whom that Satan hath bound. The reason this woman was bowed over, the reason that this woman was crooked, the Bible said, it was because of the power of Satan, the Bible said. Can I tell you that many times that we do not recognize that there is a devil present still in this world? And that many times he is the power behind the problem. A lot of times we don't even consider the fact that it could be the devil.
We always think it's us or it's something else or somebody, and we fail to even put in the equation of the fact that it could be the devil. There is a devil, and he is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Here was this woman, and according to the Bible, she was almost bound together. I may not be down low enough, but the Bible said she was bound together. And the Bible said that she was bound and bound together, but the Bible said because of the devil. And so we know the power behind her situation was the devil. And as I've illustrated here, the Bible tells us that her problem was her posture. The Bible says that everywhere she went, every morning when she got up, every step she took, that she was always bowed over, that she was always looking down, that she could not straighten up herself. Can I tell you, that's a picture of every sinner before they ever get saved. They're bowed down with a burden of sin. There's no way that they can straighten up theirself. I wish I had $100 for every time I've heard some sinner say, preacher, I'm going to get saved, but I want to straighten up first, and then I'm going to come and get saved. But the problem is that you're bound by the devil. You're bowed over by the devil. And the problem is that you cannot straighten up your own self. Amen. Not long ago, a fellow told me that. He said, well, he said, I'm going to get right. I'm going to straighten up. He said, I'm going to do it. I said, how old are you? And he said, however old he was. I said, well, you've been trying for 50 plus years and you still hadn't got it done. Do you think you're going to get it done in the next 10 or 20 or 5 or ever how many that God may have for you to live? I want you to know that you and I cannot straighten up our messed up life by ourselves. We need Jesus. The Bible says that this woman was bound together. That meant that always she was looking down. That meant that she was never looking up because she was not able to look up. Everywhere she went, she was always looking down. Have you ever met people like that? That they're always looking down. Everything's always negative. There is never one thing positive in their life. Well, this woman was always looking down. I read about a fellow one time that he said that when he was a young man, he was walking one day and he had the habit of looking down. And as he looked down, he saw there laying upon the road a $5 bill. He reached down and picked up that $5 bill. He was so excited for his treasure and what he had found that the rest of his life that he always walked and he was always looking down. But the only problem was that because he was always looking down, he missed some million-dollar days. He missed some blue skies and some sunny days. He missed some beautiful sights that were all around him. Can I tell you that God doesn't want us always looking down? God wants us looking up and looking around because there may be bad things that cast us down and discourage us, but God wants us to lift up our head and lift up our eyes and look around because there's some things that God wants to show us. Amen. She was always looking down. Then she looked like she was always carrying a load. Always like there was a load upon her. And I tell you this morning, if you've never been saved, you may not realize it, but there is a load upon you. There is the load of your own sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. I believe when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with a lost sinner and He begins to reveal to them their lost condition, that they begin to get within their heart what we call a burden. They begin to get troubled. They begin to get concerned. There's a heaviness about them. There's a guiltiness that is upon them. And this woman was that way. The Bible said that she was always bowed down. And then I think about this. Many of us have back problems. Maybe all of us. But can you imagine being in a posture where that you could not straighten up and having to go to bed that way and having to try to sleep that way? I believe I'd be safe in saying that this woman could not get any rest. I believe that she'd be up early in the morning because of the pain that would be in her back. That this woman would have a problem getting any rest much at all. And the Bible says, in Isaiah, the Bible said, there is no rest, saith my God to the wicked. The Bible said the wicked is like the troubled sea that's tossed to and fro and bringing up the muck and the mire. And the Bible says there is no rest, saith my God to the wicked. You say, what's that verse mean, Brother Rick? Well, that means when the sinner's out here in the daytime and he's around his friends and he's around people of like nature as him, and he's around them, he don't think too much about his sin and his wickedness and his ungodliness. But when you lay down at night and you're lost and you're living a sinner's life, what happens is just like the ocean brings up the leaves and the things that are upon the bottom of the ocean and stirs it around. The Holy Ghost of God and the conscience of man brings up that act that you did today. It brings up that affair that you're having. It brings up that sin that you've committed, that bondage that you're in. And there is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. Because I have heard many a lost person say, thank God I got saved, because before I got saved I couldn't sleep, I couldn't get any rest, I was afraid I'd die lost and go to hell. I remember one man telling me, preacher, I'm glad I got saved, because he said I was literally scared to death to go to sleep. He said I was afraid that, you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, God get a hold of you just right, you'll understand it. And I tell you what, we need God to get a hold of some people like that in these days and hours in which we live. When people don't think anything's wrong and nothing's sin, we need God to take the Word and deal with us about sin and how God thinks about sin and how God looks at sin and what sin did to His Son and how it put Him on the cross and how that He died for our sins and how awful sin is. The Bible says, I believe that this woman could not get any rest. It was a power that bound her. There was the posture that she was in. And then the Bible tells us of her past. It said, lo, these 18 years. 18 years this woman was bowed over and bound by the devil. 18 years she was had to walk like this. 18 years she had to listen as people laughed at her and poked fun at her. You know they did. As she would walk through and the kids would make fun of her and laugh at her and maybe imitate her and do all sorts of things. Only the Lord knows what she went through. But for 18 years she had been living this kind of a life. Can I ask you this morning, how many years have you been living the kind of life that you're living this morning?
Amen.
Some of us lived it a long time. And some of us didn't live it that long. But the Bible said these 18 years, this woman had been this way. Don't you know that there were many, many times that she said to herself, why can't I be like others? Why do I have to be like this? Why did this have to happen to me? Why can't I have what others have? Why can't I straighten up like others straighten up? I want you to know that no doubt many times these questions came into her mind. And the same cruel devil that bound her and bent her and made her crooked, the same cruel devil would cast into her mind accusations 24/7 about how that God didn't love her. If He did, she wouldn't be that way. If He did, she wouldn't be going through that. There is a devil out there, and he binds men and he binds women, and he talks to us day and night if we'll listen. But I tell you, we don't need to listen to the devil. We need to listen to God. Amen. But the Bible said that she had a past of 18 years that she had been living with this. And then the Lord tells us this little thing here. He says, this woman had a spirit of infirmity in verse 11. She had that word infirmity means weakness. Wade talked about that this morning in Sunday school about it, our great high priest, that he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, our weaknesses. You see, the law is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is perfect. The law is good. Those Ten Commandments, they're good. They're not, as someone said, they're not ten suggestions. I mean, it's good that you don't commit adultery. It's good that you don't steal. It's good that you don't have other gods before Him. It's good that you don't make any idols or any graven images. All of the law is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. But the law couldn't save us. You say, well, if the law is so good, why couldn't the law save us? Because Romans tells us that the law was good, but the weakness came within the flesh of man. You and I have a spirit of infirmity, a weakness. Someone said, preacher, I get saved, but I couldn't live it. You're exactly right. You can't live it. Let's just settle that this morning, and if we don't get anything else nailed down, let's get that nailed down. You say, preacher, you mean I can't live for God? Oh, you live for God, but you can't live perfect. You say, why? Is it because there's a God made the law too hard? There's an imperfection in the law? There's mistakes in the Bible? Oh, no. The problem comes in that we are weak in the flesh. I'm preaching to folks this morning, a lot of them, that you intended to read your Bible every day this week. Some of you did. But some of you didn't. You say, why? The weakness of the flesh. About the time you opened up that Bible, you smelled hamburgers coming out of the kitchen. And the Spirit said, don't go read the Bible. But the flesh said hamburger. The flesh said onions, pickles, mustard. And because of the weakness of the flesh, you may have given in to that. About the time you said, it's prayer time, I'm going to pray. And about that time you heard from the other end of the house, a special news brief, a special news flash. And the Holy Spirit said, don't worry about it. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just some other thing that's happened. It's happened 100 times before. But the flesh says, no, you need to go see. Don't miss this. You say, what is that? That's the weakness in the flesh. This woman had a spirit of infirmity. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus, that He healed the woman. But you do not read where that He got rid of the spirit of infirmity. You say, why? Because as long as you and I live, we can be as saved as a man or a woman can be saved. We can be saved and full of God. But always, as long as we are in this mortal body, we're going to always have a spirit of infirmity. We're going to always have a weakness in the flesh. You've been serving God very long. I can tell you who you get more disappointed in than anybody else. It's the person you look into the mirror in first thing in the morning. That's the one you get more disgusted with than anybody else. And I know folks that are always putting down the church and hypocrites in the church and this about the preacher and this about the deacon and all of this. I know those folks have never really, really come to see themselves. And if you ever come to see yourself, I tell you, you'll have so much problem taking care of you that you won't have much time to take care of everybody else. Amen. The Bible says that this woman, that for 18 years she had been this way, and she had a problem. She had a spirit of infirmity, the Bible says. And then the Bible says of her pitiful condition. You say, where's that at? Verse 11. Look there in your Bible. The last few parts there, and it said, and in can no wise lift up herself. She wanted to. I believe there's times she said, I'm just going to get up. But the Bible said she could in no wise lift up herself. Boy, that's a picture of every sinner. You can in no wise lift up yourself. You say, Brother Rick, do you know any man that can lift up himself? I know one. There was one that said, I'm going to lay myself down. And he said, I'm going to get myself back up. There was one, and what a blessing we had in Jubilee when Brother Lindsay preached on John 8. But the Bible says about him that he stooped. Twice it said he stooped. But the Bible says he got himself up. I'm glad this morning that there's one that when we can't straighten up ourselves, we can in no wise help ourselves. I'm glad there's one that's willing to come and to help us other than are helpless today. Amen. This crooked woman was in a pitiful condition. She reminds me of that man at the pool of Bethesda. He said, Lord, I have no man to put me in when the water is troubled. Amen. That's the way every sinner is. I have no one to help me. And here was this crooked woman that went to church. She went to church, that crooked woman. Made her way. You say, why'd she go there anyway? I find out most people, when they've gone everywhere else, they head down to the church house. I find out that when they've been to the doctor, when they've been to the banker, when they've been to the marriage counselor, when they've been to the drug rehabs, when they've been everywhere and spent all the money they got and everything's failed, I find out they come to the house of God as a last resort. But I want you to know God is not a last resort. I want you to know that God ought to be first. God ought to be the first place we go. But because of that spirit of infirmity, we always keep trying to help ourselves. Here was this crooked woman. Looked like an ale upside down. And she went to church. And if she sat down, she'd have to be looking at the floor all the time. She couldn't look up. And the Jews would always go to church, if you will, synagogue, you know what I mean. But no doubt there was a lot of people there when she came in. And she was bowed down, so she instead of being head and shoulders above everybody else, she'd have been head to waist below everybody else. But the Bible says she went that day to the synagogue. And I want you to know that while that there was a crooked woman somewhere back there in the pew, that there was a straight man in the pulpit that day. It wasn't some old priest. It wasn't some old hypocrite like Jesus just spoke about. But it so happened on that day that He was doing the teaching. It so happened on that day that He was the one that was up teaching the lesson that day. Boy, it's good when he comes and preaches, isn't it? It's good when He does the teaching, when He does the singing. But the Bible said, there he was. And standing there in the pulpit was a straight man. You say, preacher, what do you mean about a straight man? Well, I believe first of all his preaching was straight. I believe it's straight out of the Word of God. Because he was the Word of God. I don't believe he said, I'm going to read you a little clip out of the Jerusalem Post today. But I believe he came and I believe he had the Word of God. And I believe his preaching was gun barrel straight. I believe it was line upon line and precept upon precept. I believe that he was a straight preacher, and he preached it straight. You couldn't pick his sermon to death because it was all the Word of God. Amen. I believe this man, that his preaching was straight. I believe when he got into the pulpit, he went straight to the point.
Amen. Glory to God.
Yes, that's right.
He didn't play around for 2 hours.
Right.
And then bring a little message.
Right.
But I believe when he got in there, he meant business. I believe when he got in there, he went straight to the point.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else about this straight man. I believe if you'd followed him that day when he left and you watched him, I believe his life would have been straight to the plumb line. I believe you could have laid a plumb line on his life and there would be no crooks, there would be no bents because there was nothing wrong with his speech. There was nothing wrong with his action. There was nothing wrong with his thoughts. There was nothing wrong with his emotions. I mean that he was straight, amen. You talking about a straight man, here is one. You say, what's the plumb line, Brother Rick? Right here.
That's right, amen.
And we lay that down there.
That's right, brother.
And one by one, we get up and lay down on the floor beside it.
Right.
We keep turning the pages. We're going to hit some places where there's going to be some crooks and some dips.
That's right.
You say, why? Because we have that spirit of infirmity.
Amen.
Because we are adopted sons of God. We are not the only begotten Son of God. Because we have been saved from sins and our sins been forgotten. But we are not sinless this morning. And if we keep turning that Bible, you may make it through Genesis 1 and maybe 2. But we won't get too far that before this thing's over with, you and I is going to look like a pretzel.
Amen.
But you lay him down in Genesis.
Right, brother.
And when you come out in Revelation,
right,
he'll be just as straight.
Right.
I'm bragging on him this morning.
Right.
I'm not bragging on a bunch of old sinners like us. I'm bragging on him.
Amen.
I'm not bragging on our lives. God forbid that you and I even begin to think that we could even brag about what the way we live or what we don't do and what we do. But I'm bragging on him this morning. Life straight.
That's right.
Even his enemies, as you know,
right,
said, I find no fault in him.
Right.
Even Judas says, I've betrayed innocent blood.
Right.
Even the thief on the cross said, this man is just. He's done nothing.
Right.
I'll tell you what. When he come into this world, birthed by the Virgin Mary,
right,
came out and gave that cry of life, there in the manger at Bethlehem. And the angels came down and the shepherds abode in fields. Can I tell you that he was on a journey straight to the cross? He wasn't stopping off here or there. They tried to detour him. The devil tried to get him to get a crown without a cross. But I'll tell you, here was a straight man that was headed straight to the cross. He set his face toward Jerusalem. And he said, I must needs go to Jerusalem. The devil tried to stop him. Peter tried to stop him. The mob tried to stop him. But here was a straight man on a straight mission. Straight to the cross. Well, the Lord's helping me brag on His Son. And I'll tell you, when He died on the cross, it was straight with the Scriptures. Paul said, behold, I declare unto you the gospel. The Bible said they'd pierce his hands. They did. The Bible said they'd put a sword in his side. They did. The Bible said he'd be buried in the tomb of the rich. He did. The Bible said he'd make his death with the wicked and also with the rich. And he did. The Bible said that he would lay in that grave 3 days. And Paul said, behold, I declare unto you the gospel. How that Christ died. I'll tell you, they say, well, you preachers preach a half gospel because you never say anything about talking in tongues and unknown tongues. Honey, that's got nothing to do with the gospel. I'll tell you what the full gospel is. It's not some gift. It is the gift. out. I'll tell you what the full gospel is. It's recorded in the Word of God if you care to read it. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible said, Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, how that He was buried according to the Scriptures, and how that He arose on the third day. Now go out and tell somebody you heard the full gospel today. Lord Jesus, I'm going to have a heart attack. Oh, did I tell you? He lived a straight life. He was headed straight to the cross. He died a straight death. But on the third day, He got straight up. I just shout with you. Whoa! 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 He got straight up, glory to God. Oh, wait a minute. Did I tell you? He got straight up. And after little days here on earth, with His disciples encouraging Him, He went straight back to where He came from. The Bible said He ascended and He went up and they watched Him as He went away. Amen. And here was a crooked woman back there in the pew somewhere, but there's a straight man in the pulpit. Take a shout break. You shout, I'll drink that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. But she met the straight man.
Yes, yes.
Can I tell you, the Bible tells us in verse 12 that He looked straight at her.
Amen.
The Bible said Jesus saw her. You remember that day it looked like He was looking straight at you. There was 100 people there, maybe 50, maybe 30, but it felt like His eyes were straight on you. I don't believe she could see Him because she's like this, but I believe she could feel Him. That Sunday morning, I didn't see Him. That Sunday morning, I was even trying to hide from Him back there. And I was trying to hide from Him. I couldn't see Him, but as Brother Noah preached in Jubilee, I could sure feel Him. He looked straight at her. And then verse 12 tells us, He called her straight to Him. He didn't say, you come up here and we got some men standing at the end of the altar and they'll take you over in the side room.
Yeah. Right.
You can have all that stuff you want.
That's right.
I don't want no part of it.
That's right, brother.
He didn't say, you come straight up here. You come straight up here
right.
And we'll do this or we'll do that.
Right.
But He called her straight to Himself.
That's right.
Can I tell you, when Jesus calls you, He calls you to Himself. He calls you to come to Him. I tell you, the Lord may have people to help like Philip helped the eunuch. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when Jesus calls you, He don't call you to some preacher. He don't call you to some preacher to shake His hand. He don't call you to some preacher to put you in water. I tell you, when He calls you to Jesus. Amen. I tell you, old B.R. Lakin said years ago, and how true it was. He said, there's as much saving power in these two hands as any man on earth. But he said, there's not none. The saving power belongs to the hands of Jesus. He alone can save. He alone can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He called her straight to Him. And He got straight to the point. Look at it. When Jesus saw her, He called her to Him. And He said unto her, woman, thou art loosened from thy infirmity.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how about that?
No confession.
Right.
No prayer.
Right.
He just got straight to the point.
Right.
He said, woman, thou art loosened.
Amen.
I'm going to make somebody think this morning anyway. But did you know that Bible's already said?
Yeah.
whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved.
Right.
He's done said it. He's done said it. I don't think the Bible says you have to ask Him anything. The Bible said He's done said it. What the Bible does say, if you can believe what He's done said. This woman's down here like this. He said, woman, there loosen. I don't believe she went like that. I believe she's still down like that when He said, woman, there loosened. But she believed it. She said, it is true. I'm loosened. It works. Can I tell you, a lot of people that are going through this world and going from place to place and altar to altar and preacher to preacher and person to person, honey, they can't help you no more than you can help yourself. But I want you to know that He's already said, if you want to be saved, He will save you. If you can believe Him, if you know yourself a sinner, you know the only people that want to get saved is people that know they're a sinner and they're going to hell. That's why the place ain't full this morning and people ain't running down the aisles to get saved. Because most of them don't even realize they're lost and going to hell. They don't believe that. But you see, she was already in this condition. And He got straight to the point. He said, woman, thou art loosened. I made a type in there when I made my notes. But when I looked in the Bible as I was sitting up here getting ready to preach, I looked over and I read the Word of God and I realized that I had made a type in there. You say, what was it, Brother Rick? When I made my notes, I said He laid His hand on her. And my point was, I wanted to illustrate that by this, Brother Keith. I wanted to say that the Bible said He laid His hand on her. That when she really got loosened was when He stretched out His hands to her. But I thought, well, it just says one hand. So I guess I'll just have to say, Lord, He stretched His hand out to her. But the Holy Ghost, He wanted me to see it this morning. There is a Holy Ghost. He guides you in all truth and righteousness. And I'm sitting here and He's saying, preacher, read that again. Because He said, I want you to get it right. I want you to see the truth of this. That when we got loosened was when He stretched out His hands. He stretched out His hands. He stretched out His hands on the cross of Calvary. Thank God. I may feel water like Joe this morning. Glory to God.
Hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah.
Good preaching, brother.
You see, when she really got touched, here's my point. When she really got touched was when He straightened out His arms to her. Oh, Sister Mary, when I really got touched was when I realized He straightened out His arms for me on an old rugged cross. That's when I really got touched, amen. You see, nobody touched her. Nobody wanted anything to do with her. Nobody had time for her. But there that morning she hears His voice. And there somewhere in that service she feels His touch after He called her name. You see, this straight man stretched out His arms and touched her. And He made her straight. When He touched her, and she straightened up, she ain't looking down no more. She's looking up. She's seeing some things she ain't never seen before. She's looking up and the skies are more bluer now.
She's looking up and she's realizing there's something beyond that. She's looking up now and she realizes her help come from God. And she came to the right place that morning. And the Bible said she straightened up. I'm glad there's a day in my life when He stretched out His arms, He touched me. And Brother Simon, thank God, I straightened up. Straighten up. Amen. Let me close here real quick. But he looked straight at her. He called her straight to him. He straightened out his arms. He straightened her up. And as soon as he straightened her up, the devil went straight to work. Ain't that the way it works? I'm so proud of Bonnie. She got saved a few weeks ago. And boy, she's hung in church and been in church. And boy, it's a blessing to me to see her pulling in. And boy, she got saved, got baptized that night. And she just straightened up. I'm so proud to see her coming in and coming into the house of God. And you say, what happened? The Lord touched her. And He straightened up some things in her life. But I'll bet you this. I bet somewhere right after that, I bet somebody told Bonnie, well, you can't be saved. Right.
Listen.
You wasn't at the right place, or you didn't do the right thing, or this wasn't right, or that wasn't right.
Amen, brother.
You see, whenever God goes straight to work, the devil goes straight to work. You see, read it. Let's read it there real quick. The Bible says, He laid His hand on her, and immediately, I'm not even going to preach on that this morning, but it's good. It didn't take Him long, ain't it?
Yeah.
The Bible said she was made straight and glorified God. Watch it. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. Boy, the devil went right to work. Amen. He always does. I've never seen it fail when somebody gets saved. I've never seen it fail that the devil goes straight to work trying to make them doubt. Trying to do this or trying to do that. And that's the way the devil works, amen. But I want you to know that when the devil went to work, that Jesus' words straightened out everything. The Bible says, as soon as he said that, then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite.
Amen.
Straight to the point, wasn't it?
Amen.
You hypocrite!
Right.
Said, you've got ox at home, you've got animals at home, and you're going to leave here and go there and loose them up and bring them and get them water, and you don't think there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm loosing this woman that's been bound by the devil for 18 years, and you're mad about it. You hypocrite!
Amen.
Straightened him right out, didn't he?
Thank you, Lord.
That book will straighten people out if they can be straight. This book will shut every mouth. Somebody giving you problems, just open it up and start reading to them. Some devil come around and tell you ain't saved. Why, just turn over to Romans 10. Just say, you don't care, just wait just a minute. The Bible says, here in the Bible, I got the Bible, and it says, for Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, saying, not in thy heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesses made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek. The same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And every devil will be gone before you get 2 verses down through there. The Word of God will handle it. He straightened everything out.
The Bible said in verse 17, when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. What did that? The Word of God. All his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things which were done by him. This crooked woman met a straight man. Boy, her life's never the same. Hey, she's going to walk different. Hey, she's going to sleep different. Amen. She's going to look different. She's going to be different. You say, why? Because she met Jesus.
Amen.
She met Jesus. He makes a difference.
He's
the only thing that makes the difference that needs to be made is Jesus. Amen. Father, I certainly thank you, Lord, for this message today. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to me. Thank you, Lord, for what these messages have done to my own heart. To read about and listen to these people that have met Jesus, what He done for them. And Lord, it just refreshes and reminds me of the day I saved and what God done for me. Lord, I'm thankful that there's a lot of people in this room that was just as crooked as a barrel of snakes. But one day they met a straight man. There's others here this morning that their life is still bent and bowed and crooked. But today, like that woman, they've come here, Lord, into this place of worship. The Word of God's been preached. And I pray this morning they'd feel the gaze of God looking their way this morning. And I pray today, Lord, that they'd today come to this altar today and come to the one that's able to straighten out their lives today to save them, to give them the hope they needed. Lord, help them to realize that just as He spoke the words to this woman and told her she was loosened, Lord, by faith, she raised up and was. And just as today, He's already said today that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. He's already promised salvation to lost sinners. God, help them to come today and put faith in what He's already said and be saved today by the grace of God. Lord, you know how you spoke to hearts today, and other needs may be present here today. But I pray the Holy Ghost speak to people. May Satan be bound himself that he cannot hinder this service in any way, but let people obey the Spirit of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we sing, would you stand with me, please?